Bible says, I believe it's in Psalms, he said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. And you know, the word was Jesus. You know, and John, you can't separate Jesus and the word. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt, talking about Jesus, you know. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, hallelujah. But he sent his word and already healed us, you know. And I mean, I know he can still send the word, and he does, you know, a word you need, praise God, hallelujah. But we need to be mindful that healing belongs to us. And we just don't, you know, use it whenever we get sick, you know, or sickness attacks us. We're already standing in that place, already been healed, already done. And we stand there in that place of victory, and Satan tries to get us to get in agreement with sickness and disease. Tries to get us to agree with it. It's just part of our life and blah, 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 you know, and everything. But we got to stick with scriptures. You know, and the Bible says in Psalms 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, we just had, you know, I taught on that, and I broke that down. I really studied the word affliction. And some in there, you know, part of it, affliction means something that causes pain or suffering. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Anything, something, affliction, part of it means anything that causes pain and suffering. Well, how many knows that sickness is a thief? I mean, it steals finances. It steals joy. It steals comfort and all of that stuff. And healing's not of God. It's under the curse. You go back and you read Deuteronomy 28 over there, you know, it's under the curse. And the Bible says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. We've been redeemed from sickness and disease, you know. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 17 documented cases of people being healed. And the majority of those 17, it says their faith made them whole. Or be it done according to your faith, you know. And in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6 or somewhere in there, but it's talking about the Canaanite woman came, you know, and her daughter needed healing and everything. And Jesus, he said, it's not good to give the children's bread to the dogs, you know. Well, anyhow, her faith got her daughter whole. Anyway, she went on, and faith breaks those barriers. But my point there, healing is our bread, according to that. Healing is the children's bread. That's our food. That's our taking in, hallelujah. And there's one thing that has always been a big challenge to me. But see, I started learning these things through the Word of God back yonder. We should learn. We should study. We should seek. We should want to know, you know, if it's really healing's really for us, if it can be manifest in our bodies, in people's bodies and all of that. We should know, and we should make our conclusions by Scripture. We got to let God's Word be the foundation for what we believe. Not just miracles. I mean, they seen miracles in the wilderness and still didn't believe. You know, miracles don't make you believe. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I believe it was Acts 14 over there. Paul was preaching, and a man lame, sick, was looking intently on him. And the Bible says that Paul looked intently on him and perceived, saw that he had faith to be healed. And he was healed. He prayed for him and he was healed. Hallelujah. And so, but see, what stuck out to me back then was Paul was preaching. I don't know exactly what Paul was preaching, but I bet you he was preaching about the death, the whipping, the beating of Jesus, what he took for you. I can just imagine he was saying that he, you know, healing endured. I don't know what he was preaching, but he was preaching. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And once faith comes, then you got to act on it. I mean, you got to act on what you believe on the inside. And your believing has to be, that's Matthew 15, where that Canaanite woman, that's Matthew 15. But it says, Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it goes on and said, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He delivered them out of them all. And you know, I was thinking about, I used to have a religious mindset until the Lord, I guess it was, I don't know, 2000, I don't know when it was, but anyhow, he spoke to me and he said, I want you to go and I want you to have healing school on Tuesdays. And so Tuesday evening, we come down and we had healing school. Now, all I did, I wasn't coming to lay hands or anything on people, you know. I was coming and teaching strictly just on healing, primarily on healing and all of that stuff, you know. Well, in the course of that, you know, when God leads you in something, you need to learn about it, right? Study the scriptures. And so in listening to other ministers that I trusted in. But anyhow, I had a religious mindset, you know, that if you had faith, you wouldn't go to the doctor. Well, see, God may have did the healing school just for me. Now, Teresa got healed, you know, during it. I prayed for her and come up and got her healing and different things. But I began to realize, you know, that God used doctors. I begin to realize, you know, that you're not faithless if you go to the doctor. I begin to realize the scripture says that a wise man will use every means that he has to get himself healed. But primarily, we use God's word. We have faith in God. We have faith in God that his hand will be on the doctor, that whatever, you know what I'm saying? And then I begin to realize that back during healing school many, many years ago. You know, and I come to this realization that God uses He has anointed doctors, right? He anoints them. That's a natural helps ministry. That's what that is. It's a natural helps ministry. But now, I'm personally myself, I go to the Word first. I stand on the Word. I stand on healing. I stand on, and when I do go to the doctor, I'm putting my trust in the Lord, you know, that they will help me. They will know how to do it. They will, and I've been to the doctors and they couldn't help me, right? And then you stand on God's Word, but healing belongs to us. He said his word and healed us. How many knows healing is part of the covenant God brought to us? God made covenant with them. He said, I'm the Lord that heals you back in the Old Testament. He said, I'm the Lord your God and I don't change. He told them, he said, if y'all will listen to me and y'all will follow me and do my command, do what I tell you to do. He said, I will drive sickness far from you. He said, I'll drive it far from you. He said, sickness won't even be able to come near you. And how much more? Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't took those stripes yet. You know, and I thought, you know what? The body of Christ should, when flu season gets here, they should just fly right on through it. Never touch us. Never get near us. You know, but and one of the ways that we stopped that, I remember, you know, I started learning about these things and I thought, well, the Bible says in Mark 16:17 that these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I thought, I'm a believer. You know, this body is just a temple. This body is not me. I'm on the inside. See, you are on the inside. You know, this body is not you. This body is your car, your vehicle, that gets you from point A to point B. But the one on the inside of us, that's the real life. That's what makes this body function, is the life on the inside of us. And so every year, and I have my cabinet, my mirror there over the sink, you know, and I'd load up, buddy. I mean, I'd load up before spring hit or before fall hit, because those changes from winter to spring or from summer to winter or vice versa, those four seasons, my glands would swell up. It would get me every season. It would get me. I'm talking about for years, you know. And I started finding out these things, and I thought, well, praise God, you know, I've got to fight against this. So I went to the emergency room. Last time I got robbed by it, I went to the emergency room and I went in and they gave me a shot, you know, and it helped me. But they did it out in the hall because the rooms were full. And so a couple of weeks went by, and I got a bill from the emergency room for $300 and something. You know, and that was a lot of money back then, man. I mean, you just barely been getting by like it was, you know what I'm saying? And when I read that, I didn't get mad at the doctor. I didn't get mad at the hospital. I was glad they were there. They were there. They helped me. That helped me, you know, but they charged me for a room. That's what got me. I thought they charged me for using a room when they throwed a towel, a sheet around me, and I stood out in the hall because there wasn't no rooms available, and they give me a shot. And so I told that devil, I said, "You will never, ever again rob me with this. You won't do it." You know, and I said, "In Jesus' name." What was I doing? I didn't really realize what I was doing, but I was standing up on the inside. I was taking a stand against that. And then you know what? I thought, I can lay my hands on myself, praise God. And I laid my hands on my neck and like this, you know, and I said, "From here henceforth, you will not bear fruit anymore. I bind you in the name of Jesus. My glands will not swell up. They will not." And then, you know, I thought, "Well, I got to get rid of that medicine in the cabinet because that's getting ready for it." How many knows you can't believe and get ready for it to happen to you? That's just not going to happen, you know. And so I went and got rid of all the medicine out of there that was pertaining to that, praise God. And when it tried again, it'll try. Things will come against you. When it started, I could feel it. The instant that you feel something trying to come on you, don't go saying, "I'm getting the flu." Don't go to saying, "I'm getting..." The Bible says, I believe it's over there, Matthew, somewhere over there, it says, "Take no thought saying." See, the minute that you say it, you own it. The minute that you say it, "I think I'm getting blah," you taking it. It's like somebody's handing it to you and you're taking it. You know, and so... "Take no thought saying." Don't say. And when flu season, I went to the doctor, you know, and standing on the word of God, but I went to the doctor. She said, "Have you had your flu shot?" I said, "Nope." "Do you want it?" I said, "No, ma'am." "Have you had your COVID shot?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Do you want it?" And I said, "No, ma'am. I do not want it." She said, "Well, did you go ahead and get the shingles broke out?" And I got rid of them 3 days, spring before, couple of years ago, and so they supposed to last for weeks. They just broke out in a few spots, and they are terrible. Oh! I mean, I wouldn't wish them on the devil. He'd be in pain with them. But anyways, I got rid of them about 3 days, you know. Got on them with my faith, hallelujah, and made sure that I didn't take no thought saying, "I got the shingles." They told me I had the shingles. I left out there and said, "Not for long. They might be trying to come on me, but not today. Not today, devil." Now, found out what the name was, what it was. I didn't know what it was. You know, now, I said, "I found out now, what does the Bible say about every name? Has the bow, right? At the name of Jesus. Has the bow." That's why things, when flu happens and all that, and it starts on TV and all that, it's increasing, it's ramping up. And I always say, "Not here, it ain't. Not at my house. Not in my church. Not in my ministry." But we all stand together. How many knows two is better than one, and a threefold cord cannot be broken? So you get all of us in agreement with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, you can't break it. You can't break it. Because, see, we deal in the spirit realm. We don't deal in the natural realm. We deal in the spirit realm. And there is no distance in the Spirit of God. I mean, He's everywhere, right? But how many knows healing is part of the covenant? He's our healer. God is our healer. You know, and he's already sent His Son, and He went on that whipping post. Now, it can be emotional healing for you. It's not, I'm not just talking about natural healing. It can be demons. Right? It can be attacks of demons. I mean, they were attacked by demons and give them physical symptoms. There was a lady came here one time, praise God, hallelujah, and she had been to the doctors, I don't know, for months, and she's in pain, so much pain, she can't go to work, and they brought her here. She couldn't understand English. She couldn't speak English, you know, and sat back there in the back there, so they brought her here, and I preached. I don't remember what I preached on. They back there, and they're interpreting for her, you know, and they're just waiting on it to get over because somebody told her, you need to go let that man lay hands on you. Things happen over there. And people have seen things happen here. Any church, any ministry that God is really flowing in, you will see signs, wonders, and miracles because God works with us, and God works with them showing signs, wonders, and miracles. Right? And so anyways, I give the altar call and she comes up. I said, anybody want prayer? Anybody need prayer about like I do now? And so they bring her up and she stands there and they're telling me a little bit, you know, and I said, that's fine. And so I'm fixing to lay hands on her and I heard the Holy Spirit. He said, lay hands on no one quickly. That's in the Bible. And so I just backed off and I just began to look on the inside and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, it's a spirit of infirmity. Spirit. That's why the doctors couldn't do her no good. That's why the shots, the pills, the everything they give her, they went through and couldn't find nothing. See, you can't deal with spiritual matters with natural answers. That's why we deal in the spirit realm, even against sickness and disease. We deal in the spirit realm, and the Bible says in Ephesians, taking the shield of faith, right? That quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. See, the devil don't want you to believe that sickness and disease is of the dark side. It's curse. It's under the curse. But when did the curse come? Whenever they gave Satan rights in the Garden of Eden. That's when sin came. That's when the curse came. Well, you come on down in Galatians 3 and it says that we've been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. We've been redeemed back from it. Hallelujah. So that means whatever Jesus took on him, whatever Jesus took, he freely give it to us. Everything that Jesus done for us is ours. He gave it to us. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says by Jesus, by his stripes, ye were. That's a past tense. He said, whom his own self bare sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were. That's past. That's already done. That means it's mine. That means it's yours. That means it belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. See, and this morning, as I preached this, the Lord said, as you preach this, he said, faith rises. He said, not just in your church, whoever hears, whoever hearkens to the word, whoever listens to the word of God, pays attention to the word of God. He said, faith comes. He said, faith is the substance of healing. He said, faith is the substance of healing. He said, healing's already done. He said, but faith brings it. Faith activates it, activates the kingdom, hallelujah. Just like penicillin begins to be activated in your body and begins to go in and whatever it's attacked, it attacks whatever it is and it begins to dissipate. Well, how many knows the word of God's like medicine? It goes in our ears and it begins to dissipate the things, drive out. Sickness and disease is alien to our body. That's why our body fights it. Our body's made by God to fight off sickness and disease, to heal itself, to heal up. That's why when you get cut, I mean, it just clots up the blood, and, you know, and you begin to heal. You begin to heal up. We're created by Him, hallelujah. And then He brings Jesus, hallelujah. But sickness and disease are under the curse. Put the Galatians 3 up there, Beth, I think. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. But it says, Christ has redeemed us. See, I was redeemed from my glands swelling up. I was redeemed. I was redeemed before I got saved. I wasn't going to the doctor. Right? I hadn't come to Jesus. But once I come to Jesus and I begin to read this Bible right here, and even some people in church would discourage me over this faith thing. Some people in my family, and I ain't calling no names, love them all, hallelujah, would kind of discourage me in this faith thing. But see, I wasn't getting faith from people. I was getting faith from the Lord. See, when you get revelation, it don't come from me preaching or somebody preaching. It comes from Jesus. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And when we have ears to hear, we are open to the fact that we're already healed. We can lay hold of it. It's a gift from God, and it belongs to us, and we can take it. You know, when we're open to that, then it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to give revelation and to bring and demonstrate the healing power of God in our bodies. Hallelujah. I mean, we need to go around our house. We need to be in our cars saying, I'll never be sick again another day in my life. Bless God, and you don't believe based on last year. Don't believe based on 2 weeks ago. Don't believe based on it gets you ever. Renew your mind and bless God and stand against that. You know, it's kind of like they say that I got heart disease. I didn't have no heart disease. I had stopped up pipes. Right? I thought they'd call it what they want to, bless God. But I had 52 years to stop them up, and I've got another 52 and live 120. I'll be doing good. I got new ones out of my legs. They was brand new. Hallelujah. So I wouldn't go around thinking, you got heart disease. Don't drive that. Don't run. Don't. You got heart disease. Devil is a liar. Hallelujah. I don't have heart disease. I'm healed. Right? Hallelujah. Kenneth Copeland had a heart fibrillator put in. They had to turn it off. He's so healed at 80-something or whatever. That thing trying to kill him after they put it in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Lord told him to. Then they had to go deactivate the thing because everything went back to normal. He got on it and he believed God, and I've done long, satisfied life. How many knows the Bible says in Psalms 91 that he will satisfy us with long life? He didn't say that we'd be all crippled and wish we wasn't here and, you know, and all that in it. He said, I'll give you long, satisfied life. Well, how many knows you got to believe that? We got to believe what the Lord said. Hallelujah. I don't care what the statistics say. Let them loose whatever. Hallelujah. I mean, COVID, I got in trouble during COVID as a pastor more, I guess, being a pastor than I ever have. I got accused of trying to kill y'all. I mean, I was literally accused of trying to kill y'all because I would put on their... We're having church. We'll social distance. We tried to do the regulation stuff. You know, we masking up, and I'd put on there, we come into church, come on to church, you know, and we got gloves available, mask available, hand sanitizer. I said, but most of all, I said, we got the word of God in Psalms 91 that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Y'all remember it, don't you? And we come on, ain't none of us died. But God, we got stronger through COVID. We got to where we didn't fear COVID. I put on Facebook, I was just trying to help people. I put on there, I said, you know, people's not scared of COVID. Like that, you know. They're afraid of dying. You're not afraid of COVID. You're afraid of what it can do to you. And a pastor got me. He got me. He said, you're trying to kill people. I said, you're wrong. I said, I love people. I was trying to kill them before I got saved. Now I'm trying to save them. Save them from COVID. Got to fight. Hallelujah. Bible don't say to give in and get in fear. It says fear not. Don't fear COVID. Don't fear the flu. Don't fear the next pipeline thing they shove on social media to us. The next strain. The next level. All we see is this devil. Not the people. You know. Hallelujah. And so we take a stand of faith. Hallelujah. And you know what? I laid my hands on my neck about twice when it would try. I got rid of all of the medicine out there because I thought my faith is not going to be in that medicine no more. It's going to be in Jesus. It's going to be in I'm already healed. See, I would meditate on these scriptures and I would tell myself, I ain't telling God nothing. God already knows it. I was telling myself, by Jesus' stripes, I've been healed. I'm already healed. I am the healed of God, and I'm going to walk healed. I'm going to walk in this divine health. I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to run and not be weary. I'm going to walk and not faint. I'm mounting up like wings as eagles. I will run and not be weary, and I'll walk and not faint. I seen in the Old Testament where a man was on his deathbed and the Bible says that God raised him up. And so I thought, glory to God, I'm never going to get on my deathbed like that, but if I find anybody on their deathbed, glory to God, I'm going to lay hands on them and I'm going to see you raise them up from that deathbed, Lord. And you know what? I got to experience that. I sure did several times. I got to experience it. I heard about a guy named Smith, I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth, went, God told him to go to a funeral and get the guy out of the coffin. He done embalmed and dead. Got him out of the coffin, slammed him up on the wall. Well, I'd have freaked out. Y'all probably would have too. I'd have freaked out. But God told him to now. And so he spoke life. You know what? And that guy came back to life. That's literally documented that happened, that God told him to do that. Hallelujah. I thought, man, Jesus messed them funerals up too, boy. I mean, he raised Lazarus out there. He done rotten, man. 3 days stinking, the Bible says. He speaks to him. Come out in the name of, get them grave clothes off. Hallelujah. Take them off. Take them grave clothes off. Hallelujah. And, you know, and so, I mean, He's living on the inside of me and you. This same Jesus that did that, Christ Jesus in us. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. But we got to get rid of fear. We got to get rid of fear. I heard Sandy say one time she's giving testimony and she was working on it, you know, because she'd be like, and I heard a preacher just the other day, a minister, and I was talking with him and everything. He said, and Sandy was talking about, she had this battle, you know, what if I lay hands on them and they don't? This is not going to be good, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to get rid of all that. You got to get rid of all that, what if they don't? Right? You got to say, the Bible says. And in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. I ain't had those glands. I've never been back to the doctor again with those glands. And that's been 20 years. Every now and then, I would just feel it. And I'd say, I know you don't. You might as well leave me alone. You are defeated. I done whipped you. You're under my feet. I done plead, I done put the blood of Jesus on you and you will never come on me and bear fruit again, and it hadn't and it won't. And if it does try, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to take my shield up and I'm going to stand against it. Hallelujah. And praise God. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, just put it up there. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. See, if you believe that you're going to get sick if the flu guns under your nose while you're in Walmart, somebody breathes, right? Or you take a hold of the gas pump and you forgot the Germex and you wipe your nose. There's enough out there floating around to get it. Everywhere. All the time. But we can't live in fear. We got to live in faith. Hallelujah. I don't know if I got COVID or not. If I did, I thought, was this all it's got? Is this it? Is this all it's got? And people say, well, you know, people died with it. Well, that's not my fault, right? That don't mean, if people did die, they die with cancer, don't mean I got to, right? But ain't nobody got to die with cancer. Did you know that cancer's no big thing to God? Cancer's, that's nothing too big for God. You know, everything ain't left up to God. We got to fight. We got to get in there and say, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. Hallelujah. Only with my, I believe God, after I had open heart surgery, I started believing God. Thank you, Lord, that my veins are flowing with the Emmanuel's blood. I thank you, Lord, that cholesterol can't build up in my arteries. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. I wasn't doing that before. You know, I thank you, God, that everything works to my good in my body and in my veins and in my... And every year, now for about 5 or 6 years, my main doctor, he said, I think we need to go do the dye. And I said, well, let's go do the dye. And so I'm going down there and I thought, I need my results now. I'm fixing to get my real results, hallelujah, of my believing, of my confession, of my stand of faith. And so that was last year. Go in there, and I go to UAB, and they put me in there and put that dye in there. And then he comes out, and he says, well, he said, it looks exactly, I mean, identical to when you first had the surgery. There's absolutely nothing changed. That was my evidence. But you know what? I didn't have to have that to believe. I didn't have to have that to believe because I believe that I am the healed of God. And I believe that what I speak, hallelujah, what I believe and what I speak has a bearing, a life-changing bearing on my life, on my health, on my body, on my finances, on this church. Hallelujah. We believe based on the word and we speak it over our lives. I want to read, I got to read. Let's put that Proverbs up there, Beth, please. No, just give me the Proverbs 4. Proverbs 18, I'll quote it to you. It says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in his infirmities, sickness, weakness, troubles, trials. Strong spirit, it says, but a wounded and weak spirit, who can bear and raise up? Who can raise that up? He can't. But he said, a strong spirit of a man. How do you get your spirit strong? Feed on the word. Listen to preaching all the time. You can't listen to too much preaching. Somebody told me one time, they said, you know, man, I mean, you're, you know, you can get too spiritually minded that you're not no earthly good. I said, yeah, and stay carnally minded, and I sure ain't doing nothing in the eternal realm. I told him, I said, I don't believe that I can get my mind too over-renewed with the word. I said, I just don't think so. I said, I've never seen, anybody that has overdeveloped their mind to where they're warped up. I said, I find people that ain't doers of the word and they get warped up. I said, but as long as my heart is right, I can renew my mind because the Bible is so big that I can't get all of the meaning of everything probably in this lifetime. So anyhow, feeding on God's word will cause your spirit to get strong. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears. Pay attention. Word attend means... Don't just nonchalant like, I know the word. I hear people a lot. And they'll say, well, I can quote the word from front to back. And I'll say, well, why ain't something happening? You know, there ain't nothing. I told somebody the other day, I said, there ain't nothing wrong with God. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with the word. I said, so, you know, they got to be something with us. You know, why? Pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from you. Keep them in the middle of your heart, midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. One translation said it's healing. The word is healing and health to all of my flesh. My toenails. Come on, somebody. My cells. My joints. My liver. My heart. My pancreas. Right? My stomach. Everything. Hallelujah. The word is health and healing to all of my flesh. That's why I'm smart. I am smart. You are smart. You have the wisdom of God. You're not smart in yourself in a prideful way. If you are, you're done got foolish. You can think you're smart and be foolish. But if you say, I have the wisdom of God, I depend on the wisdom of God, I depend on that. You know, Teresa had a recurring affliction. She had a recurring, it would just get rid of it, come back, get rid of it, come back, get rid of it, come back. You know, and so she's going down the road and she says, God, are there anything that I need to do? Are there anything that I'm missing? How many knows that's good for us? Go to God and say, God, what do you say? What do you say about this? What do I do about this? Acknowledge Him, Proverbs 3 says. Acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways and He'll direct our path. And the Lord spoke to her, and at this time, she cut us off of sugar. We'd been had no sugar. I used to drink sweet tea, man. Whew, I really enjoyed it. But you know, we don't even have sugar in the house anymore. You know, we're not fanatics or anything. You bring a bag of sugar over, I'm making a pot of coffee right now. Baby, I'm going to sweeten down me some coffee. I don't even drink coffee, but you bring a 5 gallon, you drink 5 pounds of sugar, we fixing something. Right? I'm going to make some cookies or something. Hallelujah, you know. But you know, believe in God to be healthier. Believe in God to help us, you know, help us to come off of these things, these natural things that we know are not good for us. That's godly. You know, you got experts say that things harm us and all of that stuff. We believe God to help us to line up, help us get on a treadmill. Right? Help us to count our calories. Best the expert, call her up. Her and Samantha. They Google a lot. I don't know about all that Googling. Because, you got 18 ways that people say to eat loaf bread. I think just put it in there, chew it and swallow it and enjoy it. Leave it plain, man. Hallelujah. But see, he said, tend to my words. He said, they're healing and health to all of our flesh. You know, I asked my pastor one time because I was wondering, we go into the hospitals and different things, you know, and praying for people. And we had a bus ministry, and we're going out on once a month and knocking on doors and people sick and different things. Man, they're trying to get them to go to church, and I'm like, let's get them healed. I was just like, let's lay hands on them. Let us pray for you, you know. And they're trying to get them to come to church, you know, and everything. So I asked my pastor, I said, when am I supposed to give up on somebody that's on their deathbed? You know, I said, when? When do I stop praying? When do I start laying? When? He said, when they quit breathing. I said, oh, I simplified that. Well, Satan trying to confuse me. So I'm thinking, are they breathing? We going to bring them out of there. Well, my mom, they put my mom on hospice. And back then, you know, they told me, they said, you know what hospice is, don't you? And I said, well, I guess it's nurses coming to help. I don't know. They said, this is the last chapter of your mama's life. They said, hospice is the end. And I looked at them and I said, not here. Hospice is not going to determine the end of my mama. Well, I remembered the emotional feeling that I had. God, just gloom and doom. I just felt like, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is it. This is the last chapter. She's not going to live very long. I got to, you know. And I just would not receive it. I just told God, I said, ain't nobody determines according to your word, God. If when you get ready, her years are not now. She's promised 120 years in that Bible. The heathen, people lost without God, are saying they have 80. And so I told my sister, well, she's living over there, staying with her. I told my sister, I said, hospice is not the end of my mama. And one of the nurses, they said, well, Mr. Weston, you know, there comes a time when you have to let them go. I said, because my sister had told them my brother is keeping her here by his faith. Well, I went in there and sat down with my mama. And I said, Mama, I said, the Lord's ready for you if you're ready to go. I said, but the Lord, I said, you're promised 120 years here. I said, you know, I said, we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. I said, are you ready to go? I said, are you ready to go? I said, I need to know. Like that. And she said, I think I'm going to stay around a while just to aggravate my kids. I said, well, me and you are going to believe and you can have what you say. I said, bless God. I said, that's good enough for me. So one of the nurses, you know, they said that, and I told them, I said, Al, I can tell you what you need to do. I said, you do your job, and I'll do mine. You come over here and wash and clean and whatever you're supposed to do, and you leave the spiritual side to me. I told the nurses that. Stay out of our business. Get over here and work. You're getting paid to work. Do something, not to give us spiritual. Satan will use people, though, to come and discourage and get you off. Well, anyhow, my mama slips into a coma, you know, and this is a pretty good while later on, you know. She slips into a coma over there. And so I start fasting. I go on a fast. I was going to go on a three-day fast, you know. And I'm inquiring of the Lord, you know, what do, God? I mean, oh, sometimes you need to fast. And I mean inquire of the Lord, you know, get an answer from God on things. Hallelujah. Well, God told Teresa, he said, I want you to drink one more bottle of water. That's all she drank. And she had that reoccurring, I didn't forget, I just got off of it for a minute. Back to that right quick. And so she started drinking one more bottle of water and it left her. And now if that thing ever tries, she just gets her a bottle of water. I've never seen anybody heal with water. But it's not the water. It's what God said for her to do. Incline your ear to His word. Whatever He's speaking to you, that's His word. Right? If He's saying don't fear, then don't fear. If he's saying stand and fight, then you stand and fight. You take out that shield of faith. And you get on the Word of God and you get your words lined up and you don't listen to them that's going to speak contrary to what you're believing. Don't just, you know, get on to them. You don't have to do that. Just shut it off. I shut all that off. I shut it off with my sister. Well, I go in there, they call me up, I guess about the second day or whatever. And my sister called me. Doctor wants you over here tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. And I told her, I said, I'm not coming. Well, see, I'm the beneficiary. I've got all the life insurance, and, you know, in my name and all that stuff. And the doctor wants to talk to me, and I said, I'm not coming. Then I had a bunch of them mad. That's fine. Let them get mad. I know what I'm doing. You know what you're doing. Let people get upset. Don't get off of what you're believing God. You're inquiring of the Lord because people want you to do. They're just in their emotions because, I mean, you know, and that's fine. But don't yield. Well, I went on, you know, and Mom, like, you got to get over. I said, I'm not coming over there. And so the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, go over there. He said, I want you to pray for her. He said, I'm going to raise her up. And I said, yes, sir. And so I get in my truck. I think it was the third day, and I go over there. I didn't say nothing. Nobody wanted to talk to me anyways. And that's fine. I know how to take a little persecution and Teresa, I don't have to change my diaper when I get back home. Well, anyhow, I go in there, shut the door to my mom. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I just went in there. I got her by the toe. I just got her by the toe. She's been in a coma 3 days. She's not eating nothing. She's not took a medicine. She's not done. She's been in a coma for 3 days. I just got her by the toe, and I just begin to rebuke the spirit of death off of her. And I commanded her body. I commanded her to be healed. Don't the Bible say that we'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover? Right? And so anyhow, nothing happened, you know, and I just walked out, got in my truck, and left again. And I just counted it as done. The Bible says in Mark over there, says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. And what happens? You'll have it. You're in line with Jesus. You're in line with the Holy Spirit. You're in line with Scriptures. You've done got that fear out. You've done got all that doubt and unbelief out. Now you know. Well, my sister wouldn't go in there, and the next morning she wouldn't go in there because she's expecting to find my mama gone. 3 days she ain't been in there. So she waits on the doctor to get there. And she tells the doctor, I'm not going in, Doc. So Doc goes in there. And Doc opens the door up, and there my mama is looking at him. And she says, I'm telling you right now, if you don't get my medicine in here, you are fired. Woo! What if I'd have went ahead and made arrangements? What if I'd have went ahead on over and give up on her? Hallelujah. See, thank God for my pastor, and thank God I'm telling you the same thing. You know, if they still breathing, don't give up. Don't get in there. I'll tell you another one. I got to quit. There was a lady and her husband going here. And some tornado over yonder, they live somewhere off over in Texas or whatever. Huh? Katrina. Katrina took everything, and the government moved them over here to Bluntsville. Moved them over here to us. And it was right across the street over there. And they was raised Baptist, and I'm Baptist, okay? I'm just a believer. I'm not in that denomination stuff. I was born again in my living room. Bless God, there wasn't no denomination there. Jesus showed up. But I went to a Baptist church first before I got saved anyways. And I'm a converted one. I'm a believing Baptist. So anyways, they come here, and I'm preaching different things, you know, and I'm preaching on being healed, and he's back there, sitting back there, and he's taking about 8 or 9 different kinds of medicines, you know, and he's hearing this, and he's looking at me like, you know, when I'm talking about take your medicine and let it be a reminder that you're the healed of God, and say it out of your mouth. Every time you take your medicine by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And God, you're working. Your word is working in mine. I'm preaching down them lines. And he just goes off over there and he starts doing it. So he comes and he said, I'm going to throw that medicine down. I said, don't do it. Don't do that. I said, you just stay on the word. I said, you go to the doctor. I said, the doctor will take you off because as you're healed, your body won't need that. And as they do those tests, they'll take you off of them. I said, don't just throw your medicine down. That's foolish. Don't do that. You know, let the doctor give you results when you go do your test. Well, anyhow, when he left here, he had about 2 or 3 different kinds of medicines, all he had. He told me, he said, I'm coming off all of them, Mr. Weston. I'm okay. I said, yes, because Jesus already brought you all. You already been delivered. You're walking out of it. You're just walking out that deliverance. Well, later on, something happened to his wife. And his wife went into a coma in Blount Memorial down there in the hospital, in ICU down there. I'm fast, I go on a fast, and you know, see when I'm supposed to go and all of that. And I had some people in the church, you're looking bad. It's looking bad, man, you're the pastor, you know. It's looking bad on you. And I'm like, well, I've not got clearance to go. It's just going to have to look bad. How many knows it looked bad to Jesus if you'd have been here? Right. Lazarus wouldn't have died. What's wrong with you, Jesus? He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Hallelujah. So anyways, they're down there and I go in and all the families flew in from wherever all they come. It's a bunch of people. And I go in there and I go over to her husband. And I said, James, I said, listen, man, I said, I'm going to go on her. I said, I believe the Lord's going to raise her up. Well, all the people heard that. You know, I'm trying to talk to him. I'm needing his permission. Can I go in there and pray for her? Yeah. You know, and boy, they got me. They got me off over there, and they're like, you're their pastor, and you're giving them this false hope? How dare you? And I looked at him, and I said, I don't reckon I was talking to you. Whoop, whoop. And I went right on in there. I see you, but God, Jesus put them out. He put them unbelievers out, buddy. Yeah. Now, I ain't going to shove them out of the hospital, but I'm going to cut them out of my ears. And out of my thinking, you don't have to shut them out. You don't have to like throw them out in the ditch, you know, but you can cut them off. You can be polite. Polite. Is that it? Polite. I hadn't said that in a long time. That sounded strange. I couldn't know if I was right or not. Well, anyhow, I go in there, prayed God, and she had promised me to, because really, before I had open heart surgery, I really enjoyed, almost on the edge of loved pinto beans. I mean, I really enjoyed them. Well, anyways, she had promised me to cook me a pot, cook down real good, you know, and all of that, and she had never got it. So anyways, I go in there, and I get her by the toe, and I commanded death to leave her. I commanded her to be healed. I commanded her to come out of that coma in the name. I said, in the name of Jesus. And I opened my eyes and I looked at her and tears are running down her face. Now this happened instantly. You know, tears are running down her face. Later on, all of them was in there. They was in there around her and all of that, and they were talking about how she's not going to live very long and where they're going to bury her. She's hearing all that. And she tells me later, I go back and visit her before she gets out and comes back home. I go back and visit her. She said, you're the only one that came in here that didn't give up on me. I said, no, Jesus didn't give up on you. I said, he didn't want sickness and disease to take you out of here. I said, when you leave here, you're just going to be gone. You're going to slip on and go and be with him. You know, well, I told her, while I was telling her, I said, you can't leave here till you get my pinto beans. You made a promise. And you're going to have to get my pinto beans before you leave here. Now, this is being funny with her. Well, she got to come home. She come home later on and all that, you know. And when my mama died, she looked at my sister that morning, and she, according to my sister, I wasn't there, but we were here at church. And she looked at my sister and said, tell Scotty I love him, and slipped on, went to be home with Jesus. So you ain't got to die sick. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's bow our heads. I can just preach on. He's here. Father, we just pray.